On iTunes Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Up next is Query, followed by This Way Out. Good night. To WORT Madison. Attention, WORT volunteers and donors. WORT is holding an election for 2 open participating member seats and 1 open listener sponsor seat to serve 3-year terms on the Board of Directors of Back Porch Radio Broadcasting, Inc., with terms beginning at the annual meeting in June and concluding at the annual meeting in June 2028. Financial acumen, computer literacy, and a willingness to work within a dynamic group to help shape this great station are all desirable qualifications. People of underrepresented groups are strongly encouraged to apply. Some committee hours are required outside of board meetings. Applications must be received by 5 p.m. on Thursday, May 15th to ensure consideration. Voting begins Thursday, May 29th and continues until the annual meeting on Sunday, June 29th. More information and board applications are available at wardfm.org or on paper in the station lobby. Help us keep WORT, the vibrant and important part of our community. Apply today.
FPC Live presents Bob Mould Band with Craig Finn at the Majestic Theater on Wednesday, April 16th. From the angst and noise of Husker Du to the power pop of Sugar to his own eclectic solo work, Bob Mould has seemingly done it all. His 15th solo album, Here We Go Crazy, is a tuneful sprint through 11 songs in 30 minutes, serving as an extension of his last 2 records, Sunshine Rock and Blue Hearts. Mould is joined on stage by his longtime collaborators John Worcester on drums and Jason Narducci on bass. Opener Craig Finn is a singer-songwriter best known as the frontman of The Hold Steady. FPC Live presents Bob Mould Band, Here We Go Crazy, with Craig Finn at the Majestic Theater on Wednesday, April 16th. This is an all-ages show. Tickets are on sale now. More information at majesticmadison.com. You are listening to WORT Madison.
Hello, friends, and welcome. It's time for Query, Madison's longest-running radio show dedicated to LGBTQ issues. I'm your host, Vicky Kenyon. I use she, her pronouns. We have a jam-packed show tonight. Let's get to it. We're going to start with some local election news. In January, Query aired an exit interview with Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford, who at the time was withdrawing from the aldermanic race in District 15 here in Madison. As many of our listeners know, Dina was the very first out trans elected alder here in Madison, and she suspended her re-election campaign, citing several personal reasons, and really threw her support behind small business owner Ryan Coughlin. Then, here comes the April Fool's twist that nobody saw coming on April 1st, least of all Dina. She won. On April 8th, Martinez Rutherford held a press conference to announce her decision related to this election win, and WORT's news director, Shali Pittman, was there.
Didn't campaign for a second term as alder. No door knocking, no mailers, no meet and greets. She suspended her campaign in mid-January for a variety of reasons. reasons she outlined at a press conference this morning, surrounded by local politicos outside the Eastmoreland Community Center.
And like many of our transgender siblings and family, I found myself overstretched with an impending new administration and a planned surgery that would have taken me out of the race for 3 weeks. Sadly, that didn't happen, but we can discuss that separately. And I'm also searching for a new place. And I wasn't sure in the most expensive, one of the most expensive districts in the city, if I was going to be able to find a housing that I could afford within our district.
She says that decision to suspend her campaign wasn't easy, but
with so many unknowns, I was concerned that I wouldn't be able to offer the consistent, grounded commitment to the campaign that it required. So I made the difficult decision to step out of the race, and I endorsed my opponent, and I offered him transition support, was helping him like I would do with anyone who would come after me in any position.
Still, due to paperwork requirements, Martinez Rutherford stayed on the ballot. Her competitor, Ryan Coughlin, who told WORT last month that he was still door knocking. But last Tuesday, Election Day, and Alder Dina Nina beat Coughlin by roughly 219 votes. And when we asked her last week whether she'd still accept the seat, she seemed in shock.
Wow.
Today, a week later, an answer. Martinez Rutherford will join the crowd of Alders returning to the council for another term.
I was looking forward to, you know, having a little bit of time to myself, but at a time when we are so under attack, not only federally, but even in the state, when trans people step up, when trans people show up and get elected, that's a huge, huge statement, and it's resistance. So I will accept.
Yes. 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 Come on. Woo-hoo.
And I will continue to serve District 15 as long as I'm able. And I will do so with courage, clarity, and deep care. And to everyone who believed in me and the possibility of this moment, thank you.
But the challenges that underpinned her decision to suspend her campaign remain, including the financial ones. City Alders are part-time and make a modest, roughly $15,000 a year.
And the truth is, I'm still looking for housing. I'm still financially struggling. My business never recovered from the pandemic. And we all know winning a seat is greater than just one person. It isn't winning an election. It's signing up for hard work, responsibility, and courage, and the courage to govern with care and love and boldness.
WORT asked Martinez Rutherford, who editorially contributes to our LGBTQ news program Query, if she'd serve out the two-year term.
I plan to serve as long as I'm able. If I can't find sustainable housing within the district or something else comes up, I need to financially resource myself too. Like, we don't talk about that a lot for elected officials, but there are some of us who are living in poverty and serving. So if there's a way that I can get a little more resource and it takes me away from Madison, I will be heartbroken, but I will follow that. But at this current time, nothing is clear. I am here, I've said yes, and I will show up until I can't.
Ryan Coughlin declined to comment to WORT today. This morning, Alder Martinez Rutherford highlighted the importance of representation in government. And she pushed back against the notion that voters in her district somehow hadn't known that she suspended her campaign.
And to suggest that our district, who is known for being highly informed and a highly engaged electorate, didn't know or weren't informed feels like a slap in the face to the voters.
And that's a sentiment echoed by the other politico who spoke today, District 15 constituent Ali Muldrow, also a WORT contributor, who last week won another term on the Madison School Board after running unopposed.
I think as a person who gets to vote for Dina, when I was in my polling place last week and kind of realizing the importance of this election, seeing Dina's name made me feel hopeful. And I think at times like this, we kind of cling to the things that give us hope, that give us faith in humanity, that allow for us to weather moments that are tremendously challenging together. And I thought that I was doing that alone, that I was making the decision to vote for somebody who is no longer running as just one person. And when she won, I realized that there were a lot of people clinging to hope.
For WRT News, I'm Sholly Pittman.
I think that Dina's win in this election says a lot about her constituents and her service so far. So as a follow-up to that April 8th press conference that we just heard, Dina was kind enough to sit with me recently and talk in a little more detail about how things evolved, the initiatives that she's super passionate about continuing her work on, and actions that we can all take to work on creating community, helping one another, even in the very smallest ways. Hi, Dina.
Hi, Vicki.
I don't know, like 6 weeks ago, you and I had a conversation about you not continuing with your re-election campaign for District 15 alderperson. And then here we are, all of a sudden, Dina Nina is declared the winner of District 15. Life is crazy, right?
It's ludicrous.
How did this happen?
I don't know. I've never heard of anything like this happening. And so many people have been telling me that, too. Like, they've never seen it in all their years in politics and all their years in electoral politics. I take it with so much gratitude, man. Like, in a world where trans people are being erased from federal government websites, where our rights are under attack at every turn, this is a miracle, and it's a statement that my constituency was like, we want someone that we trust and know will protect our kids,
right,
who are queer and trans, and we want somebody who will stand up for those who are in poverty and fight for them and give them a voice at the table. So
yeah, I think it was a pretty loud and clear signal from the folks who know you in your district already.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you've spoken to Ryan, and I'm curious about that conversation.
You know, I talked to him before I announced that I would take it. I think the guy's a nice guy. I think he's a good guy. I have no ill will towards him, and I really feel bad that he didn't win, you know? And I feel bad that for him, that he would not get appointed, because if he was going to automatically get appointed, that would be a different story. And it would have changed the way I approached this decision I made last week. So great gratitude and realizing that, you know, somebody lost in a race that was theirs to win. Just, you know, I feel I've been that person. So.
So respect, mad respect for Ryan, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So, Dina, what does this mean now? Continuing on with all the things that you've been working on, right? Affordable housing and taking care of people in our community.
Yeah, for sure. I've been trying to champion some initiatives that would help increase affordable housing and density on lots, creating pocket neighborhoods of community that would help, you know, increase communication and community building, as well as offering people, you know, a little more affordable home ownership, the missing middle,
right,
a starter home that they might hopefully will be able to afford, you know, depending on tariff results and how this economic situation turns out, could be a lifesaver for a lot of people. So, you know, I'm going to be working on that with our zoning administrators and trying to figure out where we can pop that in, and just continuing to speak up for those that need to be spoken up for.
There's a lot of people who need speaking up for in Madison. Well, you know, nationally, but your focus is local and in your district. What other initiatives are you focusing on in your district and in the city of Madison?
I've been working with some community leaders to try to figure out a way to help provide emergency shelter for people who are fleeing intimate partner violence.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to hopefully getting, you know, somewhere on that. One of the things I would love to see happen in Madison, I am not resourced enough and none of my friends are resourced enough to do it ourselves, but I would love to see housing for queer people, safe shelter for people, both emergency shelter as well as long-term sustainable housing for trans and queer people, and housing for seniors who are queer, a way to kind of give us community within these dark times. And there are a lot of people who are seniors here that are facing a struggle with taxes and housing affordability, food affordability, and who knows what's going to happen with Social Security. And so we've got to figure out how to take care of our elders and each other. So that's my mission.
If somebody has ideas, they should reach out and maybe you can collaborate or expand
please.
On ideas that other folks have. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. What else can we do to support you in your next couple of years as alder?
I mean, just continue to show up and speak truth to power and show up, stand up.
What else do you want to say to the people?
I said this before, but incredible gratitude. Thank you so much for believing in me and seeing potential and for believing that all people belong in Madison, that we all belong in Madison.
When I saw the news that you won, my wife and I did a little dance and cheer in the kitchen because we were so excited. But we knew that wasn't really what you were expecting. Well, clearly, it wasn't at all what you were expecting.
Yeah, at all.
So what were like the...
Contrary to what some people believe.
You didn't plan it this
way.
No, I think you had definitely come to terms with not running and you were trying to make some other plans for yourself. So what was the emotion like when you heard the news? How did you hear the news first? Who told you?
I was spending time at some watch parties for candidates that had really hard-fought battles and some colleagues of mine that I care for deeply, some new colleagues of mine that I have found a great appreciation for. And so we were just in private in small community celebrating these hard won races. And someone comes up to me and said, "You just won." And I'm like, "What?" Definitely not on my radar, but like, I'm just like, I can't believe it. Like, I keep waiting for somebody to say April Fool's.
You know, right. Like, it was April 1st. So I can see why you thought that. That's awesome.
Yeah. But also, like I said, like, how much gratitude do I have? You know, I was always the one who lost pageants and never won any games. I won one blue ribbon at the Wiley Fair and for 4-H when I was a kid. But like, I'm not a winner and I'm really good at losing. I'll take that back. I'm a winner. I'm just not usually one who comes out on top.
Well, good on you. Here we go.
So I'm super grateful. Like, I just sit in gratitude a lot. So, yeah.
Well, I'm glad that we get to have the honor of your presence in the aldermanic issues and especially in District 15. And we look forward to hearing your voice more in affordable housing and potentially developing housing within the LGBTQ community. There's some interesting examples of that just south in Chicago, senior yeah. housing, youth housing for queer community. And I think maybe we can learn some lessons from that and bring them to Madison.
Yeah, absolutely. There are several examples throughout the country that could be interesting and helpful to look at. And any partners who want to come along with me, I'd be super grateful. Providing housing for people that need it the most and trying to support the people who are going to need it.
Because the next 4 years are somewhat unpredictable at the moment. And I think more people are going to need protection and assistance than we realize.
Yeah, and that's sad. And I hate that I kind of saw this coming for several years. But that's what, like, I just kept thinking about my neighbors who already have to go to food pantries, who already have to work multiple jobs and sacrifice time with family. You know, this is a very tough situation that we're heading into. Hopefully we'll get some relief. You know, I queries to the divine constantly about that. Hopefully we're all good.
Well,
and we can find a way through it. You know, it's going to take all of us, and it's going to take us really building community and helping one another. I often say on the blog, especially when I first began, was like, what are you doing good for someone today? Can you do something good for your neighbor? Think about ways to help people.
Small things, mutual aid. You've been working on some mutual aid stuff, and just helping people a little bit at a time as we can and as we're able is so important. With the mutual aid requests, I think you were trying to help someone with some rent so that they didn't become unhoused. And every little bit when it comes to those things helps. And if you can help one person with $5 or whatever it is, it's a beautiful thing. That's how community is created.
We've kept this one woman and her child housed since January, which has been so wonderful. We've helped her pay bills. We've fed her and the kids. And we've helped a trans lady get a down payment for a car so she can have, you know, reliable transportation to get to her job and back and forth. We've helped people with deposits on housing and apartments. It's a little bit that we've done, but it means a lot in people's lives. We'll continue to do that when I can, and I encourage everyone to kind of get involved doing that so that we can all just kind of fill the gaps for people when they need it. And hopefully in turn, when we come and say, hey, I'm in need, can I, you know, get some help, that it happens.
We have to take care of each other.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing. You and I talk about that a lot. We just have to, like, look out for each other.
Now more than ever, you know. Yeah. And the queer community is really good at that. We have a history of that. Lesbians who helped gay men through the AIDS HIV crisis, like those gay men and lesbian women who have supported the trans community so generously and profusely, been on our side. Like, we've got to stick together. People talk about a population that's marginalized not belonging. We've got to change the narrative and talk about belonging, because we all belong. We all belong. We all got put here somehow, one way or another. So we have to be responsible for each other and care for one another.
It's so important. We have to link arms and just walk through through this life together so that we can all be stronger. Is there anything else you'd like to say as the newly reelected alder for District 15?
Anyone who's queer and in search of community, anyone who is trans throughout Madison, throughout Wisconsin, throughout this country, if you hear this, know that you belong and your voice belongs at the table. If you are thinking about running for office, run for office. Do what you can. Stand up, speak up, just be present and help one another.
One of the things that I talk about on Queery a lot is that representation matters, and having queer, trans, non-binary, gender expansive folks in office is really important. Really, really important. And yeah, I would encourage people to run if you're thinking about it.
And surround yourself with people who are going to rabidly support you.
Yeah, we all need a great cheer squad.
Smoke sign.
little music intro there from Cat and the Hurricane, who we love. Really good messaging from Dina, I think, about coming together as a community, paying attention to mutual aid requests when we see them and hear them, and just helping each other a little at a time. But also, Dina had a strong message about if you feel the need to get involved, that you ought to run. I think it's really interesting to consider politics in Wisconsin as being progressive. I have a friend who lives in Portland, Oregon. It depends on if you live there or not. Anyways, her brother and his partner are going to relocate to Madison this summer. And my friend is very concerned about her brother moving from super progressive Portland to the Midwest. There's this picture that a lot of Americans have that the entire Midwest is red and super conservative. And while that is indeed true of a lot of the Midwest, it's definitely not fully true about Wisconsin and not at all true about Madison specifically. I know my friend's brother is actually going to love Madison. The vibe here is so similar to Portland, and I think I was able to convince her of that. So besides Alder Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford, our area has so many leaders who have been and will continue to fight for the rights of the LGBTQIA+, all letters included, community in Madison, Dane County, and Wisconsin. For example, Melissa Agar just got sworn in for her full term as Dane County Executive. And as a senator, she always stood with the Equality Caucus. She's a strong supporter of queer and trans rights in Wisconsin and nationally. Melissa Ratcliffe, freshman state senator, she spoke up at hearings on March 6th at the Capitol that were in opposition to the anti-trans athlete bill and has always been in our corner. Tammy Baldwin, U.S. Senator, Madison native, the state's first female member of Congress and the nation's first openly gay challenger sent to Congress. And when she became senator, Mark Pocan was elected to her vacated Congress seat. We spoke to Mark Pocan recently, the congressman from Kenosha and UW grad, small business owner here in Madison with his husband, past chair and current member of the Equality Caucus. And of course, our lovely Governor Tony Evers. He's raised the Pride Progress flag over the Capitol for the last 6 years for Pride Month. And at the 2024 Pride flag raising, he said, "This flag is a symbol of my resolve and my administration's resolve to always stand with the LGBTQ Wisconsinites, including our trans and gender nonconforming kids, and fight to protect them with every tool and every power that we have." End of story. He's been steadfast in his support. Susan Crawford recently fought a candidate backed by the wealthiest man in the world and won. Jill Underley, recently reelected to the Wisconsin Superintendent of Schools role, just yesterday said that Wisconsin schools need support, not threatened cuts to federal funding. Wisconsin joined several states rejecting federal demands as part of the crackdown on DEI efforts in education. I believe, dear listeners, that we all agree that things are quite a mess out there right now. When the fighting feels exhausting, try to take a moment for some self-care and know that there are so many people fighting for us, with us, and because of us.
Hello, this is Kat Rapsody, your brand new host and producer of the Wednesday night show, Query. I want to tell you about an event coming up on May 17th at the Gamma Ray Bar. It's called Cutie Club. This is a brand new showcase that local artists are putting together every month to showcase queer and trans excellence. May 17th's showcase is going to showcase Cat and the Hurricane, Bitch Seat, a band from Columbus, Ohio, and Madison's own Line. Doors will be at 8 o'clock. Show will be at 9 p.m. Tickets are $12 in advance or 17 day of show. More information can be found at catandthehurricane.com. That's catandthehurricane, all one word, .com, or at gammaray.bar. This showcase is called QT Club because the Q and the T are currently being legislated out of existence, and we refuse to be silenced. We're here, we're queer, and we're happy to see you. We'll see you at Gamma Ray, because this space is the place.
Thanks, friends, for tuning in. Thank you to our fabulous engineer, Kat, for making us sound so good tonight. And remember that you are loved and you are cared for by all of your friends here on Query and WORT now and always. Good night.
Attention WORT volunteers and donors. WORT is holding an election for 2 open participating member seats and 1 open listener sponsor seat to serve 3-year terms on the board of directors of Back Porch Radio Broadcasting, Inc., with terms beginning at the annual meeting in June and concluding at the annual meeting in June 2028. Financial acumen, computer literacy, and a willingness to work within a dynamic group to help shape this great station are all desirable qualifications. People of underrepresented groups are strongly encouraged to apply. Some committee hours are required outside of board meetings. Applications must be received by 5 p.m. on Thursday, May 15th to ensure consideration. Voting begins Thursday, May 29th and continues until the annual meeting on Sunday, June 29th. More information and board applications are available at wardfm.org or on paper in the station lobby. Help us keep WORT a vibrant and important part of our community. Apply today.
My lawyers thought we were going to win. I said, no, we're going to lose. And I had already mentally prepared for a loss. I needed to wake people up because people thought that the 2018 was a done deal and it was all done and dusted. This loss has woken everybody up to realize what I've been trying to say to them. This is not going to be done until the fat white people in Britain sing. It's going to be a hard fought victory, but I'm going to win. I'm going to win.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Brian DeShazer. The trans pool pro sues English organizers to play